Oh, that's a good art.
What We Choose to Remember is a group show bringing together artists Hidea Anderson-Mitta, Kirkan Ergen, Tara Hengsapkul and Kulimoyanga Stone Mucker, currently showing at Gus Fisher Gallery. Together, through their respective practices and materiality, the artists question and inquire into ideas of nation building and national identities, each contemplating different histories of their respective geographical and political landscapes, questioning the way we remember these pivotal moments. With a plurality in voices, the space invites a reflection on the multiplicity of experience, but also the closeness of these respective accounts. As a whole, the exhibition asks us to reflect on these narratives and connect them back to our present. If this is how these moments in history have been remembered, how will we remember our present when it too becomes history? I had a corridor with director and curator of contemporary art at Gus Fisher Gallery, Lisa Beauchamp, about the show, the artist's works, and these thematic conceptions that bind them. What We Choose to Remember presents this really thoughtful inquiry into this idea of nation building and contemplates our knowledge and the way we remember these moments in time or histories over time to shape national identities. It surveys this idea in the context of Aotearoa, Tonga, and further abroad, inviting a reflection of these concepts respectively within each geographical and political landscape, as well as their resemblance to each other. I thought we could start by speaking a little bit as to the kaupapa of the exhibition as a whole. Are you able to speak to these ideas which bind the exhibiting artist's exploration?
Yeah, I think you've summed it up really well there, actually. But yeah, I suppose the starting point for the exhibition was, I mean, it was informed by, I suppose, the kind of current kind of conflicts going on around the world and thinking about, you know, looking back at pivotal moments in history and thinking about how, you know, seminal moments of kind of conflict or trauma or kind of significant events, how legacies have been created and how those histories have been passed down over time, and then thinking about the present day, you know, saying 50, 100 years, how will current events be remembered and what will the legacy be of these events? So I suppose it's, you know, it's a mammoth kind of theme or kind of topic to think about. But the way we've done it is by inviting kind of four artists, and actually, you know, each of them are touching on really kind of significant kind of events or kind of moments that have affected them personally, as well as their kind of heritage or kind of what they kind of relate to in their kind of world. And so it's got this kind of macro, but it's also got, you know, the kind of personal and the individual. So it's positioning the kind of individual within those kind of wider narratives.
This exhibition is bringing together, as you say, four artists, and I'd love to speak to each of their works a little bit more specifically and kind of what drew you to their work as well. Let's start with Turkish film producer Kirkan Ergen. This is the first presentation of his feature-length film Heroes in Aotearoa, which sees him consider a defining moment in the establishment of the Turkish nation-state and its relationship with Gallipoli and the campaign in World War One. Are you able to speak a little to this work specifically and how it kind of connects to these central themes and what we choose to remember?
So Kirkan's work, it's the first work I kind of came across that really informed the whole exhibition, actually. So I saw a version of it at the Sydney Biennale last year. And yeah, I wasn't familiar with his practice before that, but I think it was a great introduction to the way that he works as a filmmaker. And he's always kind of interested in kind of lesser known histories, being Turkish as well. You know, the kind of Gallipoli campaign is kind of very central to their kind of national identity. And he was actually commissioned by the Australian War Memorial Museum a few years ago to make a work around Gallipoli. And I remember him saying, you know, he was kind of said, look, you know, if you want me to do this, it's going to be, you know, I'm going to do it, but you might not like all aspects of it, you know, I'm going to be truthful. And what he's produced is, I think, an incredibly meaningful and nuanced film that looks at kind of both sides of how this kind of huge conflict is cemented in different nations' histories and the legacies that it's then kind of created. We're showing the full kind of feature-length film, which is 90 minutes, but we've had people in the gallery watching it kind of over and over because it's so captivating. And I think, you know, he's really... I mean, the film, he shot it over a few years, and it's shot at Gallipoli, which is now, you know, you can, lots of people visit, and it's kind of this kind of modern day pilgrimage. And the focus is really on the kind of Turkish tourists and then the Anzac tourists. So people coming from Australia and New Zealand. And you kind of, throughout the film, you see how people from different nations are essentially, you know, kind of interacting with this site, but they're doing it in very different ways. But also the site is kind of guiding them through different routes and different experiences. So it's really fascinating to see how, you know, the Turkish tour guides, for instance, are kind of relaying the narratives of kind of Gallipoli to the kind of Turkish tourists. And there's a lot of historic reenactments that are performed for the Turkish tourists as well, which are very kind of emotional. Whereas the Anzac tourists, again, are taken on a completely different route. And in a way, they're kind of kept quite separate. And, you know, different stories, are kind of narratives are told. And so Kirkan kind of flits between these kind of two kind of different versions of events. And he's really interested in what he calls the tourism of martyrdom. So how these kind of events like this are memorialized and what it means to remember, what it means, you know, what does remembrance actually mean? What does it mean to kind of walk around essentially these, you know, graveyards now and these kind of, you know, very kind of powerful sites and think back to what happened, but also think about its connection to the present day. So yeah, the film, you know, it taps into ideas of kind of national identity and, you know, you're thinking about, you know, these individuals as well that, you know, went off to fight and they were so, so young. One part of the film, he chats to a young New Zealand girl who has visited as part of like a tour group, and she had a kind of relative that fought in Gallipoli. Yeah, she's kind of moved to tears by like the ceremony and the playing of the last post, and just thinking about, you know, when I watch that part of the film, I'm kind of thinking, well, you know, current conflicts, how are they going to play out in years to come, and what are going to be the narratives that are going to be told? And they're going to be disparate legacies, you know, they're going to be legacies that people disagree with.
I think it's so interesting to have those different perspectives captured in one place, and to see these, as you say, different memories of this event in time, which is very divisive, and people are going to have very different experiences and connections to that, and to see that in one space is good for reflection.
I think a very powerful moment of the film for me is the end of the film, where people are signing the visitor book, and yeah, kind of flicking through the pages, and you see the comments that people are writing. Most are kind of writing kind of "lest we forget" and things like that. But then there are comments like, you know, "don't ever invade us again. What were you doing here?" And you kind of realise that actually, you know, these legacies are still very, very present, and that division is still very present. And I suppose, yeah, it's kind of fascinating to think about that, I think, in kind of the contemporary context.
I want to talk about some of the other artists as well. We've got Kule Moeanga Stonemaker, who's created this major new large-scale Ngatu Tauli blackened bark cloth for this exhibition. It's furthering his interest in the relationship between Britain and Tonga, and making reference to these this relationship between Queen Salote Tupou III and Queen Elizabeth through these repeated motifs adjoining English and Tongan flags and phrases. Would you like to speak a little bit to this work, work and I guess what drew you to Mucka's work for the show?
So Stone has created a new Natu Tauli for the exhibition, and it's informed by a previous work that he made for Christchurch Art Gallery. And he's, through his practice, he's Tongan, been living here for a long time, and he's very interested in the kind of relationship between Tonga and Britain and how that has played out over time. And the kind of focus of this piece is it relates to a very kind of well-known moment, which is often kind of retold in Tongan history, which is the moment that Queen Salote attended the coronation of Queen Elizabeth II in London. And, you know, the streets were just filled with crowds and crowds of people, and it was teeming down with rain, of course, because it's Britain, you know. And, all the kind of, you know, royalty from around the world are all arriving in their carriages. And Queen Salote chooses to ride in an open carriage. And, yeah, she's known to have said that, you know, if the people of Great Britain can get wet, you know, in the rain for their queen, then so can I. So it was seen as this incredible act of respect, and it really endeared her to the British public. And so Stone has referenced that moment in this new tapper cloth. And he's really interested, you know, he will say, you know, there's this kind of pervading belief that, like, Tonga was never colonised, but actually, you know, he would contest that. Yeah, so it's bringing up lots of, yeah, conversations around kind of national identity, around colonization, but also bringing it back to the kind of personal and the individual, so the individual relationship between these two queens as well. And the way he makes the Natu Tauli is, again, kind of going back to the traditional roots and how they make those works in Tonga. And he's making the kind of the black kind of ink. And then, yeah, there's lots of kind of symbols. So he's kind of adjoining the kind of Tongan and kind of English flags. He's written the kind of quote from Queen Salote on there. And also, I feel like the way we've displayed it on the wall in the gallery, it kind of looks like this huge flag as well. So it's kind of, it has lots of different reference points. But I think it's a really powerful work in the way that it speaks to, I suppose, the development of national identities and how things become ingrained in a kind of national consciousness, you know, and that pervasiveness of a story like that and the power of a kind of story like that.
100%. Yeah, it's such a powerful work. The show does have another video projection by Tara Hingsapkuls titled You Lead Me Down to the Ocean. Interested in the political legacies of war and the military's enduring influence in Thailand, the work shows a video of a tank resting on the ocean floor, encircled by overgrown algae and sea life. Talk to me a bit about this work. What really stood out for you in this work?
Yeah, so Tada's work, I suppose the main kind of visual is this kind of projection of this tank on the ocean floor, which is accompanied by some letters. So there's letters, copies of letters written in Thai, and the letters are from a Thai soldier fighting in the Vietnam War, and they're letters between himself and his wife back home. And then there's also a kind of smaller video that shows, kind of relays some of the letters through a kind of narration. And then there's also some posters taken from, kind of collages taken from his artist book. So it's a kind of multifaceted installation. So Tada grew up in an area of Thailand that was kind of occupied by American military. So his practice, or throughout his kind of practice, he's been kind of interested in looking at kind of particular kind of repressed histories in kind of Thailand's past. And yeah, this work focuses on kind of revealing the role of, yeah, Thai military in the Vietnam War, which not a lot of people know about. I know I didn't. And again, he's bringing it back to the personal, and the letters, which we provided translations for, really kind of reveal, yeah, the difficulty or the, you know, the really intense situation that this soldier is being put in, that he has been told he has to go and fight. And, you know, he's, the letters are, you know, in part kind of revealing, you know, the role he's playing and his duties. And then there's kind of incredibly tender moments of like, oh, I'm, you know, try to get this gift for our daughter, but, you know, things like that. And, oh, have you put this money in our account? And, you know, so those kind of domestic, intimate, daily moments that don't go away, even though he's in this completely kind of loaded, incredibly dangerous context as well. Mm. And the image of the tank is really fascinating. So that was part of a government initiative following, yeah, following the kind of the, their role in the Vietnam War, and they had, you know, all these tanks and kind of military equipment. And the, there was a governmental policy that the Queen at the time kind of supported, whereby they kind of basically sunk these tanks into the ocean, and they found that it's kind of bizarre, but yeah, the fish population loved them and they became these kind of coral reefs that, you know, these killing machines effectively then became life givers, really, for kind of, you know, enabling and supporting kind of the marine population and for helping the fish population to thrive, which then kind of helped the fishermen in the area as well. So, you know, it's a really powerful image, and it's quite, you know, it's a surreal image as well to kind of see when you come in the exhibition, because it's such a loaded image. But also a tranquil image as well. But you've got that real contrast between, yeah, this kind of death machine effectively that's been, you know, so a symbol of war, to something that has become now defunct and changed into something else. So in a way, there's this kind of positive message. And in the same year they sunk the tanks, there was uprisings in Thailand, and the army, there were kind of protests, and the artist's close friend was shot by sniper bullet. So you've got these incredibly potent and traumatic events that kind of are intertwined within the installation and within his memories of those moments in Thailand's history as well.
I think it's quite interesting what you said there with that juxtaposition between this, like, on the face of it, quite tranquil imagery and the heaviness of everything behind it. I picked that up as well, because you kind of feel, I don't know, not guilty, guilty's the wrong word, but you're standing there and you're like, this is peaceful? Why is this peaceful? Which is, it's quite strange.
I always think it's like we're so desensitized as well to images like that, that, yeah, it's kind of testing our kind of reaction as well.
Mm, for sure. Lastly, I wanted to talk about Hedia Andersen Mehta's paintings. She's presenting an Aotearoa perspective on these ideas, addressing Aotearoa's colonial history and its ongoing impact on Māori lives, portraying these intimate moments of everyday lives, as well as her recent series of paintings on the Hīkoi Motutiriti to Parliament in November last year. What can be said about Andersen Mehta's work in the show and these ideas of remembering history and national identity in Aotearoa?
Oh, I think they're critical. And I think what I really wanted to do with the show was to kind of bring it back to Aotearoa and bring it back to the present and think about, you know, as I said before, and kind of like in the future, in say 50 years plus, you know, how will the Hīkoi, for example, and the kind of current assault on kind of Māori history and Tangata Whenua, how will that be remembered? And how will that be... how will that narrative be kind of intertwined within a kind of broader history? So I was really, really keen to show some of Hiria's paintings from that she painted about the Hīkoi. They're very intimately scaled works, but, you know, incredibly powerful. And they capture particular, there's three pieces that capture particular moments along the Hīkoi. And yeah, the title for each one is like, you know, includes Toitū Te Tiriti. So it's that kind of reaffirming as well. You know, I always think that, you know, Hiria's practice I've been a fan of for a long time, and her, you know, her previous paintings, most of which have been kind of intimately scaled as well, kind of show those kind of domestic, intimate kind of moments that she shares with her Fano on the Marais, kind of preparing food and, you know, those kind of maybe kind of quieter moments. And these, again, are, you know, they're politically, you know, those works are still political. And with the Hikoi, you know, I know she felt that she kind of had to produce those, and they were really important to produce. So I hope when people come to the exhibition, they'll, you know, they'll think about these histories, I mean, differently, but then hopefully think about it in relation to the present day context as well, and think about how we interpret difficult histories that we ourselves are involved in, around us, that are happening all the time. I suppose the role that we can play in helping people remember those through a kind of nuanced and kind of open lens. I think, you know, I always think what we're doing with our exhibitions as well is we're asking people to continually question things, and to question and be open and to think critically, and to not maybe accept the kind of first narrative that they might hear, you know, and to be aware of other perspectives. So I think what really comes through the exhibition is this kind of plurality of voices and this multiplicity of perspectives that are coming through the artist's works, and they're kind of asking us to consider moments in time from different angles. And I think, you know, in the current context, but I think always, it's important to consider other people's perspectives or where they might be coming from as well as our own, so we can kind of build a greater understanding of why things happen and why people might have those views. So I think hopefully it's an exhibition that encourages us to kind of question and also be accepting.
That was director and curator of contemporary art at Gus Fisher Gallery, Lisa Beauchamp, speaking to me about their current group exhibition, What We Choose to Remember. The show is on at Gus Fisher Gallery until the 13th of December.